Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's very exciting because I've had a few breakthroughs on being able to stay more present, be able to stay more focused. And physically, I'm striking it and playing as well as I ever have, but I haven't been able to see that clear picture. So although I believed it until I actually did it, there was a lot of doubt, I'm sure.
Well, there was a lot of doubt from you as Phil. I mean, he didn't have a top 20 finish in 9 months. So for him to win this thing at 50 years old and 11 months, it was just, I mean, yeah, Vegas got destroyed.
Well, but him and Brooks Koepka, who was also a 45-1 dog, like you were telling me, John, that he's been, you know, hurt. Obviously, we know about the injured knee.
Well, he was. Everybody, his doctor does now. Said he shouldn't even play. That's what his doctor said.
That's what I mean. I mean, for those two guys, and of course, Louis Oosthuizen, to be at the top. And how about DeChambeau just completely fell apart? What a horrible. That guy was just filling it up with fives, the Hulk. But yeah, for those two guys to be the two at the top of the leaderboard was pretty. I mean, they're two huge names, but relative to what they've done over the last several months, and you know what the expectations were, that actually, despite the fact that those are two names, you say, yeah, I could see those two guys there. Not really. I mean, not really. That was not the expectation.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun though. Watching. I mean, it would have been nice if there was some more
drama
to it. You know, not like drama.
Like, not like NBA drama.
Not like NBA drama. Not like Brooks Koepka drama. Not Let me that tell kind you, of drama.
But LeBron and Chris they're friends, right? They're part of the Banana Boat crew, I think.
Yeah, but.
So they're friends, but those are two. Like, I could see Chris Paul with as salty as he is, and you got Montrezl Harrell on the other side. You got LeBron, who, you know, took a dive yesterday. But with Montrez, you got some guys. God forbid Morris ever gets in this series, because that's another one that could. They could end up getting into it.
What about Ayton? I'm sure he could lose his cool at some point.
Yeah, no, you've got the potential for it to be a little bit more fireworks between. I could 100% see Chris Paul and Caruso getting into it at some point. 100%.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So headband guy. Oh yeah. No question. He's a little rat too. He's a pain in the ass. So that'll be fun. This is a fun series. This is a good series. And you know what? Is Devin Booker going to get his due by the time this is said and done? 34 points in his playoff debut. Devin Booker is a good player. I don't know that a lot of the nation knows about Devin Booker.
He's been buried in anonymity because the Suns haven't been good.
Yeah, because they've sucked. So, but I wonder, honest to God, what are the odds that Chris Paul doesn't play in game 2?
Well, he came back. So,
yeah. But then he left again.
He came back again, right? He finished the game. So.
Yeah, he finished the game. He'll come back. He'll play again. But what are the odds that he finishes that he plays the whole playoffs?
The entire playoffs? Yeah, I don't know. Not good. Just not good. Something will happen. But it was a pretty good start to it. I mean, like you said, the Celtics got off, jumped out. It's good when you know, it's interesting series as opposed to just, you know, the favorites kicking ass.
Yeah, did we?
Favorites did not kick ass this weekend.
There wasn't. The largest difference was Portland and Denver, the final game on Saturday night, where Denver's just outmanned. We'll see if they get any of their guys back. But for stretches in all of those games, you're like, okay, now these guys actually care. And this is the quality of basketball, shooting aside for some games. This is the type of basketball we would have appreciated all throughout the regular season. Guys caring, competitive games, some fight back if you go down, and no real runaways.
No, lower scoring games. Yeah. I mean, all 99. Now, I think a big part of that 99-90 Lakers game was they can't shoot. Anthony Davis can't shoot.
5 for 16. Caldwell Pope was 2 for 9. Yeah, Davis had a rough one. Him only scoring 13 points is, you don't expect that again, but that's a bad start. No. In game one,
he didn't shoot well. He didn't shoot well in the play-in game, and neither did LeBron. And he didn't shoot well here either. It's just the Lakers are out of sync. We'll find out if they can get it back. Even the Nets, when you don't play together, as talented as you are, you're gonna have a lot of points where you struggle. They struggled badly against the Celts.
I got a question for you guys. So I saw the initial commentary by the league that I think Atlanta was supposedly going to go to, or Utah was going to go to 12,000, and Atlanta was going to go to 9,000, and or the Mavericks were, and they were going to raise the attendance. They were going to allow for more attendance. The attendance numbers, for example, 14,000 for the Nets at 81% capacity. Did I miss something where they said, you know what? Actually, let's go higher. Let's push higher, which that's fine with me. I don't have a problem with it. But I don't remember the league giving – I missed the article where the league gave the go-ahead for an even higher percentage of people in the stands. Isn't it a little bit strange to go from literally – hardly anybody in these stands to now having them pretty full?
I don't know. I guess they would point to the CDC's change in rules, I guess. But you went from let's keep it to 5,000 to let's immediately jump up to nearly full capacity, depending on what part of the country you live in. I imagine the NBA has been changing things as long as the CDC is giving them the go-ahead with their own rules. So I think that's what it was. The CDC got a little lighter on the rules, and NBA was like, thanks. We'll take advantage of that.
Well, in L.A., though, the Clippers, they still had all the cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, I wonder what the attendance was for that. I'll look it up.
That was the question with Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson. The crowd played a pretty big role in it. There was clearly a Phil crowd, right? I wonder if these home teams like the Nets that had 14,000 there had a much bigger advantage than the Clippers did.
Yeah, the Clippers had just over 6,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's sparse. That's like, that doesn't give you any motive. It is a big, big bonus if you do have that home court advantage with actual, full stands. And I wonder if the Nets were 81% because they couldn't sell out.
Yeah, I wonder. 81 seems like a random.
Why? Yeah,
you
right.
You would think it'd be 15,000, right?
Yeah,
that would have been the number they got.
Or why? Well, if you can go 15, you can go 17.
Who knows the arbitrary nature of the rules?
What? There's going to be one every seventh, eighth seat is going to be empty. No, we're going to.
Yeah,
now we're saying safe.
Yeah, I don't think 14,391 was their capacity for that game. So I imagine they didn't sell every ticket.
I don't think they sold it out.
Yeah.
The Knicks sold it out.
Well, yeah, their desperation to see
a good
basketball team. Well, yeah, Trae Young took over. Look, we talked about this before with the Knicks. Julius Randle was terrible, but their offense late in games is, hey, Julius, can you isolate 20 feet away from the rim and go get a bucket? Amazingly, Alex Burke, who for whatever reason is the guy who's done this for them this year, was great. He had 18 points in the fourth quarter to keep them in it. And the Knicks, except the Knicks can't guard Trae Young. There's Derrick Rose, as much as that's a great story, he can't stick with Trae Young. So I think they put Frank Nicotina in late, and he got cooked too. And without Nerlens Noel as a shot blocker, they had to rely on Taj Gibson. He's not blocking a shot in the paint. And a great runner by Trae Young, who's like, look, I know everyone loves Luka, and I get it, but I'm okay. I'm pretty good.
Wait a minute, what's Luka got to do with it?
No, they were traded for each other, remember?
Oh.
The Hawks could have taken Luka, but they traded down and got extra picks, and they took Trae Young. And that's always going to be over Trae Young's head. But he was like, hey, I'm pretty good, too.
No, Trae Young is pretty good. He reminds me a lot of Iverson. It's going to be a volume deal.
And he can't play any defense. He's one of the worst defenders in the league. The Knicks, unfortunately, don't have multiple guys who can take advantage of that. But he was cold-blooded. Got a questionable free throw on a drive that on a fast break. RJ Barrett got called for a foul, but he made the runner in the lane and quieted the garden, which is awesome. So, people are always talking about it's great that New York has a good basketball team. The garden is great. My thought is, it's great when the Knicks fans can have their hearts broken.
You love it.
We're back
that's
to that.
That's that old Miami beef.
You damn right it is. Back to that.
Great
the Knicks fans beef. Have hope, so it can be ripped right out of them. That's what I'm
you
looking
love
for.
You loved when Van Gundy was fighting against
not
your
really, because they won. Quiet as it's kept, they won 3 out of 4 of those series and actually caused Miami some heartbreak. So I'm not thrilled
that's
about
why
that
you
run.
Love their heartbreak now.
Of course. Screw Knicks fans.
Oh, that's terrible. Let's get Jeff in here. He wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about how you could kind of see, especially with the Clippers, how the whole load management has kind of hurt them with the lack of continuity over the last 2 years. But also what I wanted to point out was that the lack of intensity during the regular season that we talk about constantly seems to really have an effect come the playoffs for these role players. Because all of a sudden I see these role players going, why can't I get a free layup? Why are there people in the paint? You know, what is this defensive pressure I'm seeing? And I think people don't realize the lack of intensity that haven't played basketball, whether it's in high school or whatnot. If you don't do that consistently with full intensity, come playoffs, it really hurts you because it takes a while to get used to that. A couple games, 2 to 3 games sometimes, if you're those role players, get used to that, where people are just shutting you down instead of just leaving you alone, like during the regular season. And it's just kind of funny to see how the load management and then the lack of intensity really affects teams in these playoffs. And I'll let y'all talk.
That is true. That is definitely. But I think that, listen, they've always said it's been forever that kicks up. Now, the lack of intensity is palpable in the regular season now. You know, it seemed like they were trying in the regular season before, but you know that they kick it up in the postseason. Everybody, it's been talked about for years that it kicks up in the postseason. Now, if you kick it up a few notches, it's like, what the hell is this? Wait a minute. You used to let me walk to the basket.
Hey,
doing?
What's hey. This business?
Hey.
What's this monkey business? This funny business that's going on here?
It's cool. What is this? Starts with D. Hey, stop being a D.
What's with the defensive? What's with the foot sliding?
What is up with that? What's this hard? You just hit me hard.
You know what's funny, though? The team, if you look at the team who's most likely to play that style of basketball, it's actually the Lakers. Because LeBron has been part of that. LeBron will play defense. LeBron is a good player. I may think some of the stuff he does is, you know, weak as ice water. But, I mean, he's a guy who will be ice physical. Weak. Yeah, weak as water.
Compared to alcohol, I guess?
What? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you tell me, John. But they do have some guys over there who will bang and play tough and physical. It's just, you know, Dudley's past his prime. Morris, they're not playing because Morris is one of those guys they may need to try to work in. And I'm kind of with Dell. Marc Gasol is, from the high post and some of the ways that they could use him on pick and pop and things like that, he would be a nice little change that they could throw at Phoenix. But I just don't think they're going to, because they probably think Andre Drummond's the better player, and that's that. Yeah, but is he the right player right now? But I don't know. NBA playoffs, it's funny we're talking about NBA playoffs and not the Astros, but it's more fun to talk about the Astros when they sweep teams instead of, you're losing the boot, guys. You're losing the freaking golden boot. I mean, what is
silver,
wrong with you? Whatever,
boot.
Whatever. It's the, platinum, yeah. Gold, silver, whatever precious
even
metal.
What the silver boot is.
You're losing a precious metal boot to the Rangers. Are you kidding me? Step up so the boot stays at home. I don't even know. Do we have the boot still?
I imagine they won it last year.
Yeah,
I don't know though. I don't
Astros
know that,
had a
though.
Losing record.
Yeah, but did they have
they
it
always
against the Rangers?
The boot, except like a couple of years when
the Rangers
lose.
Kicked
yeah.
their ass.
Yeah, well, they lost 100 games a year.
No, even...
Oh,
even,
that's right. There was one
no, more recently than that.
If they would have beat the Rangers...
They would have made the playoffs.
They would have finished...
16, right? Was it? Was it 16, 16. Where the Rangers just killed them?
Yes,
and not
the only
that,
team. That's right. The Rangers kept
the
them from going to the playoffs. I want to talk right now about... I mean, have you signed up yet for your electric F-150? What? I did. Yes. That means I'm better. That's all. And here's the deal. I signed up at Chastang Ford. Go to ChastangFord.com and see for yourself. I don't know if you've seen this. It is awesome, awesome, awesome. I got a little tip on how to buy cars right now. Patrick Chastain told me, he said, tell the people this. You don't walk into a dealership right now and then just go, hey, I need that car, and then walk off the lot with it, because you are paying more right now. Because now there are certain cars that you're going to get especially good deals on right now, because they have more in stock. But for the most part, dealerships are really, really hurting with as far as inventory goes because of the chips. And so, and oh, by the way, you got to take whatever they got on the lot. It's not the case. You go in, you order it, you can wait 2, 3, 4 months for your vehicle. You're getting a much better deal than you would get if you just walked in off the street, and you are getting exactly what you want in that vehicle, because there's some things in the packages that you just might not want. So if you're looking for the best way to buy a vehicle, and this is happening all the time at Chastain Ford, and Patrick says it is perfect because you get exactly what you want, and we're going to get it to you at a price, and usually the rebates just get better. So you're looking for, and you're locked in on a price, but you can go lower as well. So if you're looking for that kind of stuff, you're looking for a dealership that you can count on, you can do a trust, and you're not going to upsell you, it's Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You can visit online and do it all online at ChastainFord.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm looking at, yesterday, a stat. I get a stat head, baseball stat head every day. Mike Fultonevich. 7 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. Nice. That's great. That sucks. Okay? Former Astro. And then Jordan Lyles, too. Former Astro, Jordan Lyles. What? I mean, they're the Rangers. What are you guys doing? You came in, like, crushing 8 runs a game against the A's, and you can't get a hit? Against Jordan Lyles and Fultonevich? Are you kidding me? Come on. I mean, that's just embarrassing. That was an embarrassing weekend. The bullpen was embarrassing. The hitters were embarrassing. The fielding was embarrassing. Everything is embarrassing. How about Enoli? Holy crap. A one hopper that was, it goes, if he catches it, he's got a runner on third. He's got no. Yeah, was he on second? Whatever the case may be, where he was on second, he misses the ball. Everybody's safe. First and third. Now it just opens the floodgates. And are you kidding me, Enoli? Catch the damn ball! Catch the damn ball! That was just embarrassing. The whole weekend was. I'm just sick. I'm just sick right now. You got Kershaw and Bauer coming up. Tatis is coming to town after that. Just going 3-for-3 with 2 homers and 6 RBIs. Is that enough? Grand slam and everything. The youngest Padre ever to 200 hits. I mean, I'm just sick. Sick right now with this team. But here's the deal. Here's the problem. If the Astros were in the NL East, they'd be in first place. But no. Instead, they're in the AL West in second place. But remember when they used to say that about the Rockets?
Yeah, if they were in the East.
If the Rockets were in the East.
Man, if they were in the East, God. We used to, Steve Francis, we would have made the playoffs if we were in the East. No, Kelvin Cato would always say that.
Yeah.
Man, if we were in the East, we'd be in the playoffs. And we were also saying that. It's just tough for the Rockets, man. I mean, they were in the East, you know, they'd be a 6 seed.
Right.
But they're in the West and they're a 10 seed.
Well,
it's just tough.
And all the other teams are like, shut up. You have Texas, Seattle, and the Angels in your division. They all suck. Okay, so shut up. And it's just Oakland and the Astros. But man,
when I thought the Angels might be tough this year, what was I thinking?
No, not what. They're the Angels. But
you mean the guy? You mean the team with the two MVP supposed MVP Well, front runners. Well, you are you really an MVP winner if you're on a team that doesn't finish 500? Are you really going to win the MVP?
Andre Dawson. Andre Dawson won it when the Cubs were last place. But listen, this it's not even arguable, I don't think. The three best teams in baseball are the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox. And that's who you have 12 of the next 15 games. 12 of the next, and the other three are Toronto, who's the Astros minor league affiliate. Everyone from Houston ends up in Toronto. So this is a nice, you in the middle of that stretch, the three easy games. Now, you know what? You know what they'll do? They'll probably go 11-1 over these next 12 because they couldn't beat the Rangers. And then they go and slap the snot out of the Dodgers and the Padres, and then the Red Sox take that. But man, that was just awful. Fromber, good news with Fromber: four innings pitched and no runs over four innings. Looked really good. Odorizzi tonight. It's been nonstop rain here, Lance. You don't have any rain there.
Well, it rained last night. You know, like I said, it was 103 when I hiked the other day, and I thought I was gonna freaking die. It was brutal just out there for an hour and 14 minutes. And Nicole doing a 2 mile hike, and Nicole did one. She did three of them, way longer, but she runs marathons. She's tough like that. But it was pretty brutal. And then the weather went, you know, it got a lot better. We weren't as far west, but the weather got a lot better. But I've been keeping up with the rain in Houston. Like, holy crap. Am I going to come home to one of these flood things again?
No, it's just not. It rains and then it'll stop for a while so that it'll drain. And then it'll rain and then it'll stop for a little while so it'll drain. And then it'll rain. Holy crap. It's been a week and a half of nonstop rain. 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the plants anymore.
Oh, you care about it. This is all golf related. No one cares.
Well, I did play twice this weekend anyway. You know what? I didn't care.
Yeah, I know. I know you didn't care.
No, I didn't care a bit.
It's
I actually played three times. I played Wildcat and then I played Pine Forest twice. So
have either one of you been out to Marfa before?
No.
But you were aware of La Jitas. You knew about that.
Yeah, I knew about La Jitas.
We stayed there. It was okay.
No, the accommodations ain't great.
The accommodations, they think they are. They price you like they are.
Yeah.
But they're not. They can, I mean, it looks nice when you're in there, and then you realize, hey, this isn't as great. These TVs, like, I can't, they're not even a smart I'm to the point now, I'm such a baby, where I'm like, what is this Dish Network crap? I'm trying to watch Hulu or Netflix on my smart TV. Where's that? I'll just plug in. I'll sign into my account. But, you know, the one thing about so West Texas is pretty sparse. It's pretty sparse, like I already knew it was. But it's funny that Marfa has, you know, they've had some people like Seth Siegel Gardner, right? Great chef. This guy worked for Gordon Ramsay at one point at a restaurant in London and in New York as well. And he had a highly rated restaurant in Houston called The Pass and Provisions. So he's out here doing, you know, pizzas and cheeseburgers and queso and stuff like that, and he loves it out here. But he did say, you know, it's a little different when your wife moves out here and you know there's not a Target, there's not a Walgreens. Like, if something goes down, when they had to have their baby, they had their third baby, they came to Houston, they drove back to Houston to have the baby, and guess when they had it? Right when the freeze came. So they had a freeze baby. And they were stuck in the hospital, and the hospital, like, made something up. The hospital attendants made something up so they could continue to stay in the hospital, you know, where they had the electricity, because they just had a baby. And instead of being discharged, they let them stay in there for a while. But then the hospital goes, we're going to have to start rationing water. And they're like, okay, we got to go. It's safer. It's better for us back out in West Texas where we don't have freezes and floods.
No, they don't have freezes there in West Texas. But they... Yeah, my wife, Target and Walmart, my wife's like, we ain't living nowhere where there ain't a sack.
No, your wife could not live in Marfa, ever. No. I couldn't live in Marfa, but here's the thing. His wife is going to be, this is why I bring this up, Seth's wife is going to run an art gallery. She ran, she was part of the Manil Collection in Houston. She worked for that company. She's an artsy girl, so I think, you know, she's out in West Texas. They've got arts, I mean, trust me. they have a tremendous amount of art out here in Marfa. You got to read up the background because there's a background here. Yeah. You know, they shot Giant and here, Giant.
Now I remember why I didn't stop there.
Yeah, well,
artsy fartsy stuff.
Yeah,
but well, that's changed, it's a hipster, right? You have the electric car. You're eating granola.
Yeah, John, you got to make it out here. This is hipster heaven out here.
Yeah,
tell me. Do you have a mustache? Well, you got a beard. If you shave
the
beard off,
I was La Jitas playing golf. That's where I was.
But let me tell you this: she's going to run an art gallery of NFT out here.
Ooh.
This guy who owns millions and millions of dollars worth of the NFT, the non-fungible tokens or whatever, he's going to start displaying his art and things like that here in Marfa. He's got millions and he's a massive, massive collector from I don't know if he's from Texas or New York, but he's going to open a gallery here in Marfa and she's going to run it. And so we were talking about it and I was like, you know, I'm struggling with the whole Top Shot. And we were talking about Top Shot. And she said, you know, it's been explained to me, like she said, if something is worth, it doesn't matter what you think something's worth. In the digital world, whatever people in the digital platform says it's worth, that's what it's worth. And she said going through the banking stuff that she's been through over the last 5 years and then going through the digital side on cryptocurrency, she said, you know what? Honestly, I get it. She said, because the banking side is so corrupt, the crypto side makes way more sense. And all I could think of was, well, that doesn't make me feel good that you're crypto, which can just go up or down because Elon Musk is on Saturday Night Live. That's considered less.
Yeah, considered, I don't know if I want the people just like the stock for what was the
GameStop?
Yeah.
You mean this GameStop, which nobody actually goes to? Their stock's at 300. Like, are we sure this is really
right? No, Blockbuster.
This is really
let's
value?
Buy Blockbuster. What? There's only one left. Why would what?
You go look. GameStop is still like over 150, I think.
Yeah, yeah. All right, it's 828 ESPN now. 829. Thank you. 713-780-3776. If you want to come in here and talk about art, Marfa.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we got to get this this Eric Kratz stuff. Did you see this? So, Eric Kratz, who was a catcher for the Rockies, former MLB catcher Eric Kratz believes there were at least a couple other teams to use a scheme similar to the Astros.
Oh, and one of them was?
One of them was the Colorado Rockies. Cheaters.
And we don't care about them.
No.
And the other one?
The other one was the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I just dabbed super hard. You know, I told you that Eric Layden was at a when we were doing our podcast, he said, and we got one coming up, but Eric told me that he talked to somebody. They were just two dads at a little league baseball game. Well, one of the other dads, a former major leaguer who now works inside the league office. And he's like, oh yeah. He said, trust me, we've got information on other teams cheating other than the Astros. Cause Eric is a huge Astros fan. And one of the teams that this guy kind of loosely mentioned was the Dodgers and the Yankees. And like, wait, the Dodgers? And this guy said, I don't want to say too much, but let's just say there's a lot of teams talking right now that probably shouldn't be talking.
And he
claimed that this would come out at some point.
Oh, my God, no. But the Jeff Passans and the Buster Olneys are all going to go, well, it wasn't as elaborate as – it was similar, but wasn't as elaborate or as egregious.
Oh, play the audio. Oh, no. Go play the audio.
Here's Eric Kratz talking about Colorado, about sign stealing.
I can tell you that a team that has been to the World Series often, recently, we caught them doing something almost similar. And I can also tell you, because I don't really care. I don't know anybody over there. The Colorado Rockies, were doing the exact same thing in 2018. And we caught them, and we played them in the playoffs. In the playoffs, you know how many runs they scored? In a three-game playoff series in 2018, not many people watched the NLDS, they scored 2 runs in the 9th inning of Game 2. And they used to take a Theragun and bang it on their metal bench. And they were doing the exact same thing from the TV.
Hmm. Wow.
I mean, a Theragun, you know, the thing that you stick on your hamstring and all that stuff. I mean, give me a break. That's the same. And this is what is the most frustrating thing is, you're right, all the guys who are so the pearl clutching of the collective Major League Baseball media writers, who many of them, this is what's so disingenuous, many of them know that the Astros were not something, they did not invent this, they were not the first to do it, and they weren't the only team to do it. And yet they still went out there, and I think, look, Passan, we know, had an issue with, who was the guy that yelled at Allison Footer, the assistant GM?
Yeah, Todd.
No.
Todman.
Brandon. Todd, yeah, I knew there was a Todd in there.
Yeah, Todman.
Brandon so Todman.
he had a big, big beef with the way that he had treated people in the organization. Like, Passan, when you read Passan's articles, he basically made mention of the toxic culture. Like, this was something that was a known thing, I guess, and Passan was going to expose it. Okay, well, so be it, whatever. And I think that he let that seep into the way that he approached the Astros versus the way that he approached other teams that he had to have known were involved in this. And the way that Buster Olney, you know, it's almost like these guys have dug in and taken a stance, and now they don't want to, you know, I don't think they want to give in and say, you know, maybe we were wrong. And there should be nothing wrong with saying, you know what, maybe I was wrong. Maybe there were a lot more teams doing this, and maybe the Astros, you know, took a brunt, because it's not going to change. It will always be the Astros and the trash can stuff. It's always going to be that. But it would sure be nice if the truth actually came out and people could actually, you know, others were held accountable, so that maybe we won't see that kind of righteous indignation from teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, and they can be exposed as being frauds for their stances of how strongly worded their commentary was toward the Astros, when we all know that they were doing the same thing.
So this is a nice article. It has a sound in it. Jack Baer, who's a writer for Yahoo Sports, wrote this, and he summarizes, he concludes it. So while the Astros weren't alone in cheating, it appeared that they were the lone team to use a system so effective and still used it in the postseason. The 2018 Red Sox were found to have stopped cheating during the regular season. Of course they did, because they told Rob Manfred that they stopped cheating.
They stopped cheating.
So here's how he concludes. If the Rockies or the Dodgers used the banging scheme, well, that's new information, but doesn't come from a reliable source. Kratz isn't the first player to accuse other teams of illegal sign stealing, and he probably won't be the last. Why is Kratz not a Mike Fiers is a reliable source, but Kratz isn't?
Well, the Astros admitted to it.
Well, but that's afterwards.
But so what?
It started with Fiers, I guess, because Fiers was on the team. It's more reliable than Kratz.
Why is it not a reliable source when they know that they caught them? And oh, by the way, they caught the Rockies, and the Rockies couldn't score runs after they caught them, and they made them stop doing it.
Listen, and wait a minute, he's not answering, John.
Wait a minute. If the Rockies or the Dodgers used a banging scheme, well, that's new information, but doesn't come from a reliable source. And then you would probably think, you know, Kratz played for 11 different teams and probably is bitter or something to that effect. No.
No.
Kratz isn't the first player to accuse other teams of sign stealing, and he probably won't be the last. The one that he refers to, and it's underlined here, and you can go to the web to the story, Logan Morrison. So many MLB teams cheat using video, and he names the Yankees and the Dodgers. Wait a minute. Is Logan Morrison, he's not reliable either?
No, he's not.
Is there no other reliable source? Is Mike Fiers the only reliable source in all of baseball?
What was his nickname when he was here?
Mr. Reliable.
Mr. Reliable. Thank you, Dell.
Yes.
That was his nickname when he was here. Mr. Reliable, the no-hitter. We all called him Mr. Reliable. So, yeah, that's why everyone really puts a cape on for Fires, is because that's what he's known as, Mr. Reliable. I saw people with Fires jerseys at games that just said MR, period, Reliable. We all know that.
Hmm. I thought, I didn't know that. So the only source that we can trust in all of this, all of these accusations into sign stealing, with this is multiple teams now, multiple guys that have named the Dodgers, and those little crybaby biznatches continue. It's gonna be this week too. We got to start a chant tomorrow night at the ballpark. Eric Kratz says you're cheaters. Eric Kratz says you're cheaters. Logan Morrison too.
Well, that's a clunky.
Yeah, he's got
cheer.
How can you have a two syllables and then three syllables in the name? You can't do it. That's terrible. Logan Morrison. That's terrible. Your parents, Low Morrison. Anyway, so, I mean, it's so hypocritical. Baseball is the most hypocritical sport. I'm almost disgusted. I'm disgusted with it after this weekend.
Yeah, I would like to know why Jack Baer at the end of this, and while he used the entire article to say everything everyone else did was not as bad as the Astros,
yeah,
that was pretty much what he decided to do. What does he have against Eric Kratz? What
he's not a reliable source.
Based on what? He doesn't go into why he's not a reliable source, because he's just a player who's just talking. This whole thing started with the player just talking. Now, of course, Mike Fiers was the inside man, so maybe people added more credence to it. But Eric Kratz isn't the first player to say other people have been cheating. Didn't Jack McDowell, was it? Who's the White Sox pitcher who said, McDowell. Yeah, we've been doing this type of stuff for years.
Yeah.
You're talking about back in the 80s, this stuff was going
1981.
On. Yeah.
But the White Sox sucked. They were under 500, so nobody cared.
It didn't matter. And, of course, Eric Kratz is unreliable based on I don't know what. What? Mike Fiers broke the news in an Athletic article. Kratz does it in the podcast. What's the difference? I hate baseball people
I hate Rob Manfred more than any of them.
No, this is what the narrative has been laid out, and nobody is willing to. This is the society we live in now, where once your feet are dug in, you cannot be swayed, because you don't want to have to change. And people don't want to have to change their opinion. And the opinion doesn't have to mean that you back off the Astros cheated. We all said that.
Well,
they cheated and it tainted 2017. It's okay to say other teams did too.
While Kratz said the Astros weren't alone in cheating, he also conceded that the team continued to cheat after being told to stop by Major League Baseball, and agreed when a podcast host said the team should be stripped of its World Series title. He also said Commissioner Rob Manfred dropped the ball in only punishing former manager A.J. Hinch and former general manager Jeff Luhnow. It should be noted Kratz played for the Astros in 2016. I didn't know that.
For only a month, apparently.
A month and a half he was on the team.
You can see the tent.
He's not credible, is because he played for the team, so he loves them.
Look, we know what the deal is here. Everything Jack Baer needs to do is tie it back to the Astros. It couldn't have been its own separate article about cheating in Major League Baseball. It had to be like, but none of this is like what the Astros did. The Astros
conceded
in the postseason.
It's new information.
No.
Banging.
This is so true. Cody has just said the truest. This is the one that knocks everything completely out of the box. For all the arguments that he's not a reliable source, Cody says, a random Twitter user claimed to be Beltran's niece, and the world took their word that Altuve had a buzzer, but this ball player isn't a reliable source.
He says the Astros should be stripped of their title. Oh, well. So? And so what? He's got his opinion. But I do know that's an opinion, that you think that they should be. But he's also, he says, fact, we caught that team cheating. They had to stop cheating.
What's his writer's name?
Jack Baer.
Jack Baer.
How do you spell it?
B-A-E-R.
Okay, B-A-E-R. So I want somebody on Twitter to just do your little Twitter search and see if he ever references the buzzers and the Astros, because that would mean that he took the word of a random Twitter user claiming to be Beltran's niece, and that would show what a hypocrite he is. That's a really simple That's a really simple exercise for you guys to do. And find out on his Twitter page if he ever did that. Because if so, that just shows how hypocritical he is and how inconsistent he is.
So, well, Dez says, some favorite dumbass comment I saw from an apologist was that the memo to stop only went out to the Astros. No. Actually, Rob Manfred had to send a memo to all 30 major league teams to stop cheating. It would have been dope if the Astros gave out rings against the then for the next two nights against the Dodgers. Oh, my God. That would have been awesome. Yeah, you know what, Art? You should work for the Astros PR department. Wait, I take that back. Never mind.
Not with some of the things he says.
No, not with the things. Are you kidding? That Twitter account? Are you crazy? 844 ESPN 97.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 847. We've got a couple of callers down the line. I want to talk about Phil Mickelson. I want to talk about that tournament yesterday. It was one of the most memorable. That's got to be one of the most memorable tournaments, majors of recent memory.
Also, I was going to ask you this because Jim Nance, as he was, doing the whole how great it was and what it meant, he said it's something we'll never forget. Is it something you'll never forget?
Yeah.
Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Because a 50-year-old won. That's why.
Well, this is Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters, too. That's what this is.
So when you think about the best moments of golf you've seen, this will pop up for you?
Yes.
Will it? Where?
Well, Jack was a little different.
Why?
He was 46. He wasn't the oldest, but Jack was a better player than Phil was.
Well, back then, though.
Man, Jack's like, the greatest of all time to win at 46.
Yeah, but Jack was nowhere near. Like, back then, a 46-year-old Jack, it was inconceivable that he could win a major back then. It felt like that, at least as a younger player watching golf. I will admit, I mean, I was younger, but it felt like Jack was not even considered.
Phil wasn't either.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No, I guess I've just come up with Phil. But did Jack feel like, was that, I mean, I don't know what Jack was, what the odds were. Phil was supposedly 200-1.
No, and Jack wasn't playing well when he came in either. He wasn't. Jack Nicklaus, had all those, he had 17 majors and They didn't even ask him. I think he said it might have been the first time that they didn't ask him to the interview room before the tournament because nobody figured he had a chance. Because so he was always, always, hey, what does Jack think about this week and everything else? And he said, I've seen so many things on it, that if it wasn't the first time, it certainly was that they didn't ask him to the interview room before the tournament. And he was like, okay. And then he went out and won it.
Well, so I'm looking at his list of majors, Jack, and before the Masters, he had won the PGA in 1980 and the U.S. Open in 1980. He won two majors in 1980. So he would have been, 40 years old? How old was Phil Mickelson last time he won a major?
Phil Mickelson last won his major in 2013.
So that's even more.
Yeah, it was 9 years
actually.
Years
ago. That was yeah.
So well, he was 41.
Right? Yeah,
he was 41.
So I guess that is. I guess this is a.
Well, Jack was 40 before, but it was 6 years later. This is 9 years later.
Yeah, and he's older than Jack. So I guess, I guess this is maybe, and I would say that golf has a greater variety because there's such an international flair now. There's a greater variety of players you have to get by. There weren't as many international players.
Jack faced a better field, though. He faced better players at the top than Phil did. But it's just much deeper now. The field is so much deeper. Anybody can win from anywhere now. Back then, it was. But listen, the guys that Jack played against, the top golfers in the world, were Hall of Famers. It was a golden time for golf. The Watsons, the players, the Palmers, the Floyds, the
names were Greg. So I don't think Freddie wasn't a factor. Freddie Couples in 86, but Greg Norman was a major factor back then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was. Yeah. Norman was. Yeah. But not, listen, that's my only issue with. Yeah. And you had Seve and you had, you know, an up and coming Faldo, and you had, I mean, there was all kind of, you know, there was all.
What
kinds
about
of,
Koepka, Rory? I mean, is it really that different?
Nobody's stepping up like that, though. That's the problem. Is nobody is given? It just seems like, you know, one guy is walking away with it, and nobody is ready to just step up and say no. You ain't taking it today. I am, and it just seemed like there were so many tougher down the stretch matches than there are today.
But here's something else, though, that I think you have to factor in, which may make it harder when you consider what Phil has done. Phil also plays in an era of tremendous technology, from the ball to the shaft to the clubs to everything, to guys, players who work out, are very physically inclined. They hit the ball so far. Phil always hit the ball well. But at age 50, you're going against bangers. You're going against guys who can really hit it with distance. Now, this course was less – well, distance did matter with your ability to take a par 4 and turn it into
a potential birdie or eagle. This was 8,000 yards.
There was
and
some
against
a
hurricane-type winds.
So I would say that's another area where, you know, the persimmon drivers and the technology, even in early 80s when Jack won and in 86 again, it was – there was less technological advances, and the players weren't the same, you know, workout warriors. Like, that's a major deal for Phil to have to go against these young bangers like that on a super long course. That's another thing to keep in mind is Phil can still hit it at age 50.
Yeah, but on the other side of that is, like, Jay Haas told Billy Harmon, he said, I've never hit it longer. He's 66 years old. And he says, I've never hit it longer than I'm hitting it right now.
Why is that?
Because of the technology.
But the younger people have the same advantages.
Well, right. But you're evening it up because you can only hit it so far. Now, Bryson DeChambeau is – I'll tell you this. This week we saw Bryson DeChambeau and his threesome. They were hitting it with him. So, I mean, it's not that big a difference. But the older guys are actually – have a bit of an advantage now with the technology, being able to hit it up there close to or with these younger guys. Let's get Neil in here. Let's talk about the crowd. What do you say, Neil?
Hey, good morning, John. Ben's dad. How you doing, my man?
Good.
Hey, Lance, to your point, you're right. Those guys, if you look at Phil, Phil's a different body shape than he was 4 or 5 years ago. He's really put in the work. You got to give the man credit. I mean, I don't like him personally, but I'll put credit where credit's due. He's worked hard. What I called about, guys, is the crowd. I'm not going to throw the P word on Brooks Koepka. I thought the crowd control was atrocious. I mean, there was a guy in like a red shirt or something that grabbed Phil around the neck. I'm surprised he didn't have scratch marks. Guy grabbed him like a tiger or something. It was incredible. I thought that the PGA itself did just a horrendous job of controlling the crowd there on the 18th. It was good to see crowds back, but, you know, to allow the fans to attack, which is basically what it looked like, was an attack on the golfers. I get where Brooks was coming from, and I don't think Phil was none too happy either. I thought his brother was going to bust out on somebody. Thoughts, please?
said thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I listen, if you go back, if you see old footage, that was the norm. Guys coming in behind the people coming in on the 18th, behind the players. And it wasn't not that highly unusual. I think in today, I don't know. I'm just shocked. If you want to know the truth, when Phil was standing over that putt, there was one guy that was yelling and then he stopped and Phil putted. I'm just shocked that it's not even more boisterous and the etiquette is done, is over.
Thank God it's in South Carolina and you never have a major in Scottsdale.
Well, right. Well, no, you can't do that there, especially.
They would have been on the green in Scottsdale throwing beer at Phil as he stood over his punt.
But I'm surprised it isn't worse than it is if you want to know the truth in today's day and age with somebody, some idiot, is going to be screaming. And listen, in Wisconsin, and when it goes to, I believe in 4 years, Bethpage, it goes back to Bethpage. Or there's a major coming up. Don't think that they won't be yelling at those Euros in a Ryder Cup. If it's up in New York, at a Ryder Cup, while they're hitting, just to throw them, so that somebody isn't going to be an idiot and say some stuff or whatever, or throw stuff or whatever is going to happen. I am shocked. I was a little surprised that they let the crowd get that unwieldy, if you want to know the truth. I was a little bit surprised that they let him, that kid, come up and grab Phil and they closed in around him and he had a hard time getting out of there. And then and Jim Nantz said, "Where's Brooks?" And then, you know, a couple, 3 minutes later, he comes out of the crowd. I was like, oh my goodness, that's a bad thing. That is not a good thing. And sure enough, it wasn't a good thing. I don't think he was the P word. I think he's somebody that worries. He's worried about COVID.
He got banged up.
And he was worried about getting banged up.
Or dinged. Did he say dinged or banged?
But you think he's worried about COVID?
Yeah. Aren't you?
Koepka? No, I'm vaccinated.
Well,
I'm not worried.
I don't
about
know
it.
What his vaccination situation is.
He may be like LeBron. He refuses to answer the question.
Yeah. You don't know.
I think he specifically said his knee. No, I actually think he never said COVID.
He did say his knee.
I was worried about COVID for all the people.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
You seem like the least likely to be worried about COVID.
No. I'm getting I don't know if you heard, I'm getting an electric car. By the way, you know why I was late this morning?
Why? Your car didn't start?
No. Flat tire.
Mm.
Ooh, nice.
So I rode my bike in, and oh, by the way, I hadn't ridden in a while.
You are Portland.
Riding your bike Portland to work, Johnny.
And I rode my bike, and I hadn't ridden my bike in a while. I should have filled those tires, so I was riding on the limo out of the way in.
Are you going to be able to fill those tires?
What a man of the people!
I am a man of the people. So how do you do it now? How do I drive all the way there on a flat tire to get my tire fixed? That sucks.
Well,
can of air.
Well, see if somebody will give you a pump. Maybe somebody will give you a pump on the handlebars.
You think it's flat, or is there actually a hole in it?
There's a hole in it.
Well, okay, you might be able to go to a gas station, get one of those. It's like an aerosol can, and it like inflates your tire. That's why I was asking if there's a hole or is it just flat, and it lets you drive for about 25 miles or so.
You can literally swipe
a
credit card.
I had one in my car, and I did that this morning. It didn't work.
Yeah, you got a giant hole. You're screwed. Yeah.
Listen, what
unless
you got
to
do
to drive to a
call Chad a Clay. Place. Ask him to drive his bike over and let him give you a pump on his handlebars.
No, he
that's
needs
how we did things when we were kids.
For the car. Not for the bike.
Well, then Dana can give you a pump.
He's not going to be able to pump that pump. He's got a hole in his tire.
Yeah, but he's got to get back to his house and he's got wheels are kind of flat. Let Dana give you a pump. Let him drive over on a bike, put you on his handlebars and pump you home. If he's got pegs on
why
the
do
back,
you, keep saying,
you can stand
like
on the
saying,
pegs.
He
wants
that.
You to get pumped.
9 o'clock, top of the hour, ESPN 97.5. This segment's over.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.